Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Kay Murray, joined in the studio by Craig Burley and Stevie Nicol, and we'll start with the big game on Monday, Manchester United against Liverpool. United getting their first win of the season. Erik ten Hag with some big decisions before the game, dropping both Harry Maguire and Cristiano Ronaldo, the big calls paying off. Jadon Sancho and Marcus Rashford with United's goals. Mo Salah pulled one back for Liverpool, but it was United who came away with all 3 points, a result that takes them above Liverpool in the table. Let's now welcome in Don and Gab, but Craig, let's start with you. Where did this come from?
That was exactly what the doctor ordered. Desperation, big calls, big changes. Not a surprise, but still big changes. Through the abysmal two first games, particularly Brentford, to have that response, I think we saw early on. Ronaldo wasn't dropped because he's not the biggest goal threat in Man United, which he is. He was dropped because he needed pace. He needed energy. He needed somebody to run in behind Liverpool's high line. And that was the reason Ronaldo was dropped and Rashford went back to this position where quite a few years ago, it seems now, was his natural position. And he looked good. The back line was changed because Shaw and Maguire have just been absolutely hopeless, and they're a liability. They'll get managers sacked, and I'm quite frankly, I think it'll be quite a while before we see them back in. But I think from 1 to 11, or whatever you want to call it in the squad numbers, they had fight, work rate, energy, passed it really well in the first 20 minutes, were a threat in behind, were helping each other, were talking to each other. You remember the Brentford game? They're all walking around with their heads down, like, not me, not me. When somebody made a tackle, they were over patting them on the back, they were high-fiving, they were pointing at each other, get in position, do this. Everyone wanted to fight. That's the basics, I know that, but they've not been doing the basics. So I thought, bearing in mind when the bar was down here, underneath this table, I thought that was a really brilliant performance in the circumstances.
And you wondered, Don, as well, if this could be a turning point for United, a result like this against Liverpool as well.
Absolutely. Has to be, because Craig's right. They've set the bar, they've set the standard, and it wasn't rocket science what they needed. They needed players, and Ten Hag needed these players to show character, show fight. And they're a wounded animal after the start they've had to the season. So the reaction was, you've got your arch rivals, the bitterest rivals, at Old Trafford, how are you going to start the game? And they started the game like a train. Liverpool couldn't cope with them the first 20 minutes. And at times, Man United ran all over them. So for Ten Hag, that's going to be his blueprint.
How did this happen to Liverpool tonight, Stevie? What went wrong?
I think as much as anything else, it kind of shows you where Liverpool are this season. The performance in the Charity Shield against Manchester City, I think, had given everybody a false sense of security, because from that final whistle in this third game today in the Premier League for Liverpool, they've had an absolute shocker. And they haven't been a unit from back, middle to front. I mean, the back line, and I'm going to pick on Van Dijk here, this is a guy that we lauded not that long ago as the best centre-back on the planet. And he was. Not only the way he was playing, but the way he organised his defence. The way he kept that line together, that back line, was as one, as a unit. Well, all of that has completely disappeared because Van Dijk personally is not playing well. He's defending is all about your starting position. He's getting that wrong. It's all about leadership. He's not leading anybody. That back line, every single time Manchester United got the ball and were running at Liverpool's back line, it was absolutely a shambles. It was all over the place. And in my opinion, that's down to Van Dijk. That's his job. Not just to play, but to organise. Of course, you throw in the fact that you've got Trent Alexander-Arnold, who defensively, if I'm being kind, is a liability. And so if you're Man United, you're just encouraged to have a go at it. And I could keep going on about the back line, but we've still got the middle of the park to talk about. The middle of the park does nothing that Liverpool's best side, what, 2 years ago? Liverpool's best side 2 years ago, they won the ball quickly and they got the ball to the front three quickly, and that gave them more time and space to get after their opposition, and they're making chances and scoring goals. Well, they ain't getting the ball quickly, and when they do get it and they're giving it to that front three isn't together either. Bobby Firmino was absolutely awful today. Absolutely awful. And from a defensive point of view, Liverpool, again, the front three, are not worrying back lines the way they used to. They're not closing the ball the way they used to. That high press seems to have disappeared. And the middle of the park can't stop anybody, including Manchester United, from getting to the back line. And when you look at the back line, the way it's performing, that's a disaster for every Liverpool player and fan. And so, I guess what I've just said is, going forward, they've lost it. In the middle of the park, they've lost it. And as a back line, they've completely lost the plot. Gab. Other than that, things are looking good.
Gab?
Yeah, look, I appreciate Stevie's negativity about Liverpool. And look, all credit to Manchester United, especially in those circumstances. The way Ten Hag had them playing tonight was very impressive. I would like to mention also that, you know, we talk about Liverpool and this was coming. They weren't great the first two games. But if I can also remind you that this is a Liverpool side without Darwin Nunez, without Joel Matip, without Konate, and I think especially and most tellingly where they were probably already short in midfield, and we saw it tonight, without Fabinho, he was on the bench, he came on, without Thiago Alcantara, without guys like Curtis Jones or Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, who might not be much to write home about, but at least they are alternatives, without Naby Keita, another one. I think that plays into this tonight as well in terms of Liverpool's performance. Not taking anything away from United, but I think when we talk about all the things Liverpool do wrong, well, it's easier for Liverpool to do things right when they have their actual best players out there.
But, I mean, the one thing I would say is, you know, we're talking about one of the best teams in Europe over the last 3 or 4 years. Whether they win Champions League or Premier Leagues or not, they're in a sort of 4 or 5 of the elite top echelon teams. And all those players would still walk into the Brighton and Brentford teams who have basically pummeled Man United in the last couple of weeks, 10 days. So it was just, and I get it, it's not the strongest team, but this is one of the worst Man United teams in the last 20 years, or whatever it is, by far. And they were desperate. But guess what? Liverpool were desperate. Because Arsenal are up there, they're not going to stay up there, but they've set a bar of 9 points. City have got 7 points, they've thrown them a bit of a bone with the 2 points dropped at Newcastle, but not much. So Liverpool were desperate, but they just didn't play well enough. I mean, how many times has Van Dijk over the past 2 years been dug out by a teammate? I'll tell you, probably none. Maybe once or twice we've not seen on camera. But nothing like that, and by the way, it wasn't just the first half. He dug him out in the second half again, and I'm sure there were other times in the game. It's almost like Van Dijk's playing as if the last couple of years have been great at the moment, and it's just going to come to me. There was no aggression about his game, and I know Kanate's not there, I know Matip's not there, but as Stevie said, that's when he's really got to stand up, and he didn't.
You know, we have to look at Klopp and his coaching staff as well, because Liverpool at their best, teams couldn't get out, and one of the reasons they couldn't get out is not because, as good as the personnel was, and they had their first 11, the positional play of all the midfielders and all the defenders meant that teams couldn't get out. When Liverpool cough the ball up now, teams are getting at them. Now, that's down to organisation. That's not down to how many players you've got injured. That's down to organisation.
But Stevie, when Henderson's playing in a different position than where he plays when Fabinho's there, when Milner is 37 years old or however old he is, when Elliott's coming into the team, inevitably you're not going to have that same chemistry that allows for that positional play. I mean, it's what you lose when you chop and change, right?
Well, you shouldn't... I'll give you that. But what you shouldn't do, Gab, when you're making the changes is have holes everywhere. Maybe we're talking a couple of yards here and there. When you're playing with the middle three who play with each other every single time, then you understand that teams get nothing. They squeeze the life out of them. When you make changes, yes, that little bit of cohesion absolutely goes because of that. but not to the extent that we're looking at now. I mean, there are absolutely gigantic holes in the middle of the park and at the back. I mean, you can maybe get away with one. If the middle three weren't letting everything go through, then there's less for the back four to do.
But so was it a mistake to not start Fabinho?
Well, I would think so. Yeah. You have to think there's a reason he didn't start him. Maybe he thinks because Man United are struggling, he can maybe give him a break and play Milner in there. Because that's the only thing I can come up with. Other than that, he should be playing.
Well, Fabinho played against Palace, and he wasn't exactly plugging the holes that day. So it's not like he's not played at all. I mean, unless Fabinho has a little knock or a niggle or whatever, I'm perplexed to know why he would not play at Old Trafford, right? Particularly when you've dropped points in the first two games of the season, right? It's about playing your best team. I mean, surely to God, we're not looking at resting players already. I don't care what kind of summer they've had. But anyway, that's Liverpool. Let me just go back to Man United quickly, because I feel we've absolutely smashed them from pillar to post, and I think rightly so. And I think we need to give them some credit. You know, last week, people were coming out with the nonsense. People coming out about, you know, centre-half's too small. I mean, Martinez played for Erik ten Hag at Ajax for 3 years, right? Do you think he brought him in because he was a bad player and he couldn't defend? I get it. He's not the most physically imposing, but he is a physical player. And just that hunger and desire to go and put his body in the line tonight. And yeah, he was a little bit annoying, but shouldering a few people, but who cares? Fans love that. Malacia, young guy coming in, playing against one of the top players in the world, Mo Salah, did a great job. So there's so much. I mean, Bruno Fernandes, who annoys the hell out of me sometimes with his moaning and groaning, but I thought he worked his tail off. I mean, notwithstanding the nonsense that he could have got booked for after the book for diving, and that was stupid, not giving the ball back, and I think he's a little bit fortunate there, but I thought his overall performance and work rate, and to see Marcus Rashford back through the middle, threatening in behind, really, to see Jadon Sancho doing what they can do, having a bit of composure and looking good on the ball, was really pleasing to see, and I think it's some excellent food for thought for Ten Hag going forward.
Don, just to pick up on that from Bruno Fernandes, because we did say we'd touch on it, was he treading a tricky line there? He was already on a yellow card and then he's time-wasting after Liverpool score.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what the law is, Kay, because obviously the ball wasn't back in play, so I don't know if the referee's looking at the watch ticking along or until the kickoff's happened. Can he technically then be time-wasting? It's annoying, don't get me wrong. Liverpool fans would have hated it. Mo Salah would have hated it as well. It's annoying as a player. So, without knowing the exact law on it, I'm not sure how you could issue a yellow card. I think the referee probably would have just given him a warning, to be honest, but he was naughty.
Just going back to Manchester United, though, while we do put the praise out there, Ten Hag has gone with his players tonight. He's dropped the captain, Harry Maguire. It's worked for him. What does that tell us?
Well, I hope it tells us that the next time the Man United team sheet comes out, Ronaldo's not on it and Maguire's not on it. And particularly Rashford. To me, Rashford is a centre-forward. I mean, it's no surprise. When Rashford was at his best, he was playing centre-forward for Manchester United in England. And the worst thing that they could have done is stick him out wide, which is what they did. And the guy's been in the periphery ever since. And all of a sudden, you put him back up front and you see the enthusiasm that he had. And the worst thing for defenders, and particularly for a defence that tries to hold a line, is when you've got somebody who's got pace and who's got ability and who's looking to run in behind you. It makes you panic and it makes you wary and it makes you make mistakes. And that's what Rashford did tonight. He, as bad as I'm saying the back line was, a lot of that was down to Rashford because of the timing of his runs and the fact that he's looking to run in behind him, which as a defender, we absolutely hate.
It tells you he just doesn't trust these players, plain and simple. Not Ronaldo. Ronaldo, it was not dropped because he's not a goal threat, as I mentioned at the top of the show. He was dropped because he wanted more energy and more pace in behind. That's what he wanted, and that's what he got. The others,
you know, were dropped because McTominay was an extra physical threat than Fred and was more energetic and was tidy on the ball, and it allowed Eriksen to go and join in. And the back line was changed because he just doesn't trust them. And we talked about it the other day. Rafael Varane, for all he's won in the game, is not the most silky on the ball. But guess what? And it showed tonight with some of his passes. But they don't need silky passes at the moment. They need defenders that will defend. Try and keep a clean sheet. Try and win a game. Worry about passing the next game or the next game or the next game, whatever it is. But he just had to get people in this game today that were able to do the basics. And I honestly thought the fight in that Man United starting 11, and even Martial when he came on, who's been, I'm going to be nice to him and say average.
But was that telling as well, that it was Martial and not Ronaldo coming on?
Martial is pacier and will take the ball for a run. This narrative is not Ronaldo. It's not. He's a goal scorer now, and he will get his quota of goals. But he needed to do things a different way. And if Ronaldo can't accept that, and I'm sure it's going to be a difficult one to swallow, but not probably unsurprising to him, then he's got a few days, him and his management team, before the end of the transfer window to sort it out. But I don't think there's any desperation to get him back into the side. Not at all.
So what do you think it means for Cristiano Ronaldo's future, Gab? Because he's not likely to be a player who wants to come on for the last 15, 10 minutes in Manchester United's games.
No, certainly not at this stage of his career. Is there a scenario where he may accept it to be fresh for the World Cup and then maybe move somewhere for the knockout stages of the Champions League? Possibly, but I don't think so because, you know, he's such a competitor. The difficult thing, as we've said this all along, Kay, is he has an enormous salary. It's not clear that United would let him go for free. I would assume they would have to maybe even pay him off a little bit to leave, and then he would have to go and take a pay cut and play elsewhere at Champions League level. I've been willing to bet all along that he wasn't going to be there September 1st. That said, there's very few places where I think, you know, it would make sense for him to go and it would make sense for them to take him. That's a difficult thing that we're running up against. I speculated about Real Madrid. That was just a little bit of fun. I don't know. It would be an incredible story. Real Madrid already said they're not going to do any more business, so who knows? But obviously, he's got a lot to think about. But at the same time, I'd also be surprised if in the next game, you know, if it's a different sort of opponent, one that's not going to go and engage you the way Liverpool do, ones that's not going to have as much of the ball, you know, maybe you don't want a pacey striker. Maybe, as Craig said earlier, maybe you want one of the best goal scorers in your team, or the best goal scorer in your team. So I don't know if that chapter is entirely closed, but it's certainly on its way to closing. Let's say that.
Manchester United taking on Southampton next up. Don, just a word on Cristiano Ronaldo, because Ten Hag did say afterwards in the post-match presser there will be opportunities for him this season, and he's still going to play a vital part.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, Ten Hag's shown his card tonight, and Man United fans have come away with a win against their arch rivals, and they've gone, right, that's how we want to play. We want to play with energy. I think Ten Hag's, as I said a couple of weeks back when Cristiano didn't turn up for pre-season, I think Ten Hag was like, so what? I think he's a strong enough manager to say, and now he's got the result behind him where he can back it up next week if he wants to put Ronaldo on the bench. I thought he was smart for Maguire because Ten Hag knew that Firmino was going to start the game, so there was no point in playing Harry Maguire because of the lack of pace. So he went with Lisandro Martinez, who's got more aggression, and he shoved Firmino into a midfield area. But on Ronaldo, I think Ten Hag's a brave enough man to turn around and say, next game, unchanged side, you're going to have to wait. And if the window comes around and you want to move, go and move, because I don't think you can carry him, Kay. When Man United tried to have Bruno Fernandes, Christian Eriksen and Ronaldo in the same 11, without the ball, the big sides would have been like this. Wow, Man United without the ball down to 8 men because they're not going to trace back. So now you've shown what pace and what energy and what character and what bravery can do against a really good Liverpool side, by the way. But, you know, Ten Hag's calling all the cards here, not Ronaldo.
As a manager, Stevie, how would you deal with this Ronaldo situation?
Exactly what he's done today, and keep it the same way. You know, the fact that you send a team out that performs the way that Man United did today, then you ain't changing it for anybody, Ronaldo or no Ronaldo. So I think it's given Ronaldo food for thought. And he, if he's got any sense, which I'm sure he has, he'll realise that when it comes to the big games, he's sitting on the bench. Because when it comes to the big games, United will play the way they did against Liverpool. They will be sitting back and trying to get them on the break. And that means that it's going to be Martial with pace. It's going to be Rashford with pace. It's not going to be Ronaldo. So he better get ready for that, that's for sure. And Ronaldo's a guy that wants to play in the big games. He didn't come to Man United to play against Southampton next week or any of these sides. He wants to be scoring in the big games. But they've shown that's how they're going to play. Because they ain't going to turn around. They ain't going to turn into Ajax next week against Southampton. Telling you that.
Go on, Gab.
No, I just want to say it's interesting because, you know, he can come out and say we want to play with energy and pace and blah, blah, blah. And by the way, I have yet to hear a manager say, well, we want to play with lethargy and being slow out there. But the fact of the matter is, you know, they beat United. They had to play this way. So they beat Liverpool. They had to play this way to beat them. They were vindicated. But they did it with 29% possession at home against a team that, you know, obviously were struggling and were missing a lot of players. Against other teams, I don't think he can go out and play this way in terms of just a lot of energy and the counterattack. He's going to have to figure out a way to take the game to the opposition. He's going to have to go to the next level. He's going to have to see much more of the ball, have people who can move the ball. Now, obviously, he's got the tools to do that. Whether he's best served doing that with a genuine goal threat like Cristiano Ronaldo or with this, you know, movable feast of Rashford, Martial, Sancho, whoever, I don't know. I'm being naive here, but I kind of take Ten Hag at his word when he says there's going to be certain games when we can use Cristiano Ronaldo, and it's not just necessarily going to be, you know, games against the minnows.
You're nodding.
Well, it's going to be games against the minnows. It's going to be games against sides. I mean, the one thing, we still don't know that Man United can go and take the game by the scruff of the neck. They've turned round and put a performance in by sheer guts and pace going forward on the break with the limited amount of ball they have. And that's what I meant when I said, when the big games come around, that's how they're going to play with the squad they've got. They ain't going to be going against the so-called teams that are going to be the top four and go and try and outplay them. They're going to do what they did tonight and have less of the ball. And that means no Ronaldo. So, yes, Ronaldo's going to be playing at home against Southampton, at home against Fulham. That's when he's going to play. He's not going to play in the big games when they can't afford to go toe-to-toe with anybody. Because as brave as they were today and as much as they fought and, yes, they defended with everything they had, it's one game. And they're not in a position yet where they can say, right, whoever's in front of us, we're going toe-to-toe.
Which begs the question whether Ronaldo's happy to be the man against the cannon fodder. But every player wants to play, as Stevie said, in these big games that the world's watching, and he wants to be the man. I might be in the minority. I actually don't think the Ronaldo scenario is a scenario, particularly for the manager. I think it's a scenario for Cristiano Ronaldo now at 37 and being a bit part player at a very average Man United side. And that in his head is going to have to be difficult to take. Bearing in mind, along with Lionel Messi, they were the two best players for 10 or 15 years by a stretch. Those days have gone. That ship has sailed. Now, I think I'm right in saying in the summer when he made it clear he wanted to leave, his camp or him, and I may be wrong, and I will stand corrected, was saying about, well, it's not about the money. If we want to move, it's not about the money, it's about the prestige. Well, if you're going to be this bit part player now and again at Man United, and you still want to dine at the top table, you're going to have to do it somewhere else, then you're going to have to do a deal. You're going to have to play for less money. But if it's not about the money, it's going to be a little bit easier to make it happen. But if it's about the money, it's going to be damn difficult to make it happen. So at the moment, his cards are in his court. He's not going to play in the bigger games at the moment if that performance today is anything to go by. If he can accept playing against Fulham and the rest when he's needed, when Marcus Rashford or Martial needs a rest or whoever it is needs a rest, then so be it. But I honestly don't think, in Eric Ten Hag's mind, it's the deal that the media think it is. because that guy is going to make decisions to save his backside, not make decisions to make Cristiano Ronaldo happy.
And obviously today they've beaten Liverpool. I watched the game with you, Stevie. That's an experience in itself.
That should never, you should never do that again.
How far off Man City are this Liverpool side?
Oh my goodness. Well, you could argue that Man City defensively yesterday were as bad as Liverpool. But going forward, we're talking about two different stratospheres right now. I mean, Liverpool never created a... They never cut United open once today. The twice they may have scored would have been own goals. De Gea's made a good save with his foot, but that's it.
I wanted to remind you what Klopp said afterwards, because he said, we should have won this game. I know it sounds ridiculous, but that's how I saw it.
Wow. Well, he's probably getting carried away with the stats. Because if you want to judge games by stats, then if you've had 70% and the opposition have had 30, then you can convince yourself, if you want, that you are way better than the opposition. But the truth is, possession-wise they were, but you don't get any points for possession. It's about scoring goals and creating chances. And as much as a possession as Liverpool had, they didn't create chances and they certainly didn't score goals. So it's what you do with the ball. And if you can, again, look at United and say, well, they only had 30%. Well, I tell you what, I'm sitting watching this game and every time they went forward on the break, I thought they were going to create something or score. So,
it's their worst start for 10 years.
I take on board the injuries, it's for sure, and I know Gab mentioned it, and you have to take that on board as a bigger picture. The demise of Liverpool is not now. The only problem they have is, and I'm sure at some point when all said and done and the main players are back, they'll kickstart the season. The problem they've got is, yes, City slipped up on Sunday at St James's Park, but how many of them is there going to be? And what's the gap going to be at that point? They clawed back a big gap last year, but can they do it again if that's the case? I mean, it's already, what, five points. But it's and if they don't get these players back quick, that gap's going to get bigger. So, yeah, Liverpool are not this bad team all of a sudden. They've had some bad performances, but boy, they need to get these players back sooner rather than later.
They just need to get back to basics. You know, it's not, this isn't, oh, this team needs a complete overhaul or anything like that. They have to get back to basics. The basics that made them the team they were. And I'm not talking about the ability of the players, I'm talking about the organisational side of it. The organisational side of the back line and the organisation of the middle line.
Are you okay with the midfield?
Not particularly. It's not inspiring, is it? You look at that side, it's not... Listen, Elliot is still learning his trade. And so you're asking a kid who's learning his trade to reach the standards of where Liverpool is supposed to be. That's tough. You know, James Milner, as great as he's been for Liverpool, is past his best, gives every single thing all the time, but he's just a little yard off. Because of his age, and Jordan Henderson doesn't quite carry the team the way he used to. So, you know, that for the engine room isn't a great endorsement, is it?
Don, what can they do about the midfield, Liverpool?
Go into the market and sign Jude Bellingham. I've been saying it for ages, and it's not just Jude Bellingham. It's even when you put Liverpool's best players, Gabs, you know, referring to the players that are out injured, and all right, you can point to that, but even when you pick Liverpool's best midfield three, they don't score goals, Kay. They don't score goals. They're efficient in what they do. They win the ball back and they service Salah, Firmino, Diaz, Nunez. That's what their job has been and will be. But they've got to find a way. When I watch Man City, you know, De Bruyne scores from midfield, Phil Foden scores, Grealish scores, Gundogan, one of the most intelligent footballers out there, he scores, Bernardo Silva scores. They're not just relying on Erling Haaland all the time or the front men if Alvarez is playing, etc., etc. Liverpool can go into a game and you're more or less saying, if you keep the front three quiet, no one's going to score. That has to be addressed. And Liverpool are in for Jude Bellingham, I hear, next summer. They've got to fast forward that double quick and get their season going. I expect them to beat Bournemouth at the weekend, but it's one of them conversations you go, wow, if they don't beat Bournemouth at the weekend, they're not just fighting Man City anymore, they're fighting Chelsea, they're fighting Arsenal, they're fighting Tottenham, they're fighting everyone up there, because there's a lot of teams to overhaul and overturn.
You can't fast forward next summer though, Gab. They're not going to sign Jude Bellingham this summer, are they?
No, I'd be shocked if they did.
They have to.
I think what you do is you make do with what you have. You try to get people fit. You see if maybe you can get some help in January. I've been going on about the midfield since Gini Wijnaldum left, and I don't think he's been replaced. You know, I take on board the point of the goals, but it's just those runs into midfield, those disruptive runs that he made back when he was at his best, and obviously he's been on the slide, and obviously now he's injured, and he's even going to miss the World Cup and half the season. But I think that type of player is somebody that Liverpool just don't have anymore, and they certainly added quality with Thiago Alcantara. But again, with Thiago, you're talking about a guy who's not going to start every game simply because he's too fragile physically. So I think it is something in-house. They need to speak to the medical staff, and they need to really, really see where they are with the players that they have.
Stevie, you were frustrated at Trent Alexander-Arnold today. He could play in the midfield.
Well, I don't know about that, because you've got a defender in there as well. Yeah, I mean, it's just, listen, it's, I've said it before, Klopp, well, we're not telling Klopp anything he doesn't know. But what Klopp's doing is he's basically saying to himself, you know what, we get so much from this kid going forward that we're going to have to take on the chin what he doesn't have defensively. And that was okay when the other three were at the best. They made up for him. But now, it's every game now. There's problems down that side, and they're finding it hard to cover for him now. Nobody's been able to cover for him, because he can't do it. I mean, you saw his attempt to try and deal with a 1-2. I mean, there wasn't any commitment in it whatsoever. He jogged back into the middle of the park. Now, had he sprinted into the middle of the penalty box, I should say, he actually might have got a challenge on Sancho. But he didn't. He walked. Defending is not his forte. We know it. Klopp knows it. But Klopp is prepared to take the negative because of what he gets going forward.
But wouldn't
I don't think Liverpool will panic, though.
OK.
I don't think I don't think they're a club in recent years that will just panic. I don't think they'll sign anybody. I'd be surprised if they sign anybody. They've spent big on Nunez, obviously suspended. But I don't think they'll go out and start panic buying. That's not the way they've done their business in recent years. Go back to the midfielders. It's not the lack of midfielders. They've got plenty of midfielders, but most of them do the same thing. They play behind the ball. I mean, when Thiago comes back, he's a little magician on the ball. He's great on it, but he plays behind the ball all the time. You rarely see him getting advanced. And what Gab was talking about with Wijnaldum, getting into the box. These guys that run into the box, the goals from midfield are invaluable. Go back to a couple of the best midfielders in their time in England, and Gerrard and Lampard. You know, Gerrard was a bit more of an all-rounder. Lampard, though, they just goals and goals and goals. And when Drogba or somebody else, it wasn't happening for them. Bang, midfield, win the game. Couple of goals, 15 a season, whatever it was. And when you don't get that, it puts more pressure on Mo Salah. It's more pressure on Luis Diaz now. There's no Sadio Mane to lean on. Nunes should be ready. Should be ready, and obviously he's going to have to control his emotions. So the balance should be better, but it's still putting pressure on those three. And Mo Salah has, and he didn't have a good game, but he got a goal. He's carried that burden along with Mane for a while now. It's difficult to keep doing that. And it's difficult for Luis Diaz, as good as he is, and he came in with a real fanfare, pyrotechnics, everything. Oh, this is amazing. Carry the can for a full year. That's what these guys at Liverpool have been doing for the last 2 or 3 years. That's when we're going to find out about them. But I don't think Klopp will... I get what Don's saying. Bellingham's a terrific young player, and there are others out there. I just don't think Liverpool will go, oh, man, it was a terrible start to the season. Let's go and spend 100 million. I just don't think that's the way they do their business.
OK, just to go back to...
If they're going to sign him next season, sign him now. It's not a panic buy.
Come on, Gab.
No, I take your point, but I mean, and I'm sure they've looked at Bellingham long and hard, but as far as I know, there's no agreement in place with Borussia Dortmund to sign him next season. So even then, Borussia Dortmund are going to say, look, you know, Liverpool, we're not your B team here. We're not your feeder club. We're the second biggest club in Germany. Please treat us with some respect. If we say no, it's no, unless you want to rock up with 100 million.
Looks though we might have lost Gab there. I just want to touch on Mo Salah.
It's the 100 million that got it.
The 100 million stopped it. That was not the magic word. Mo Salah today, what did you make of his performance?
Listen, Mo Salah feeds off the service that he gets. And he didn't get any. There you go.
He didn't get any. And I wonder,
he didn't get any service. He needs service. If you give him the ball, he'll produce. And without any service, he still managed to score, regardless of did he play well for 90 minutes? No, but he scored. That's what he's paid to do. But you've got to get him the ball, right?
I was looking at him during the game and thinking, do you know, he's not floating around that he usually does. And then I thought, right, I think what's happened, I might be wrong, they've got a young, inexperienced guy's come in, Malasia, against, obviously, Salah, who is give you any fullback nightmares one-on-one. So I think the tactic, it seemed to me, was Diaz was floating about, but Salah just kept his position in the wide position. And I think the tactic was to try and get him the ball and say, listen, it's nice to be nice, but in football, it's not really. Go and get him the ball, one-on-one, kill this guy. He's new signing, he's just in, he's nervous, just go and take him apart. And it looked to me as if that's what Liverpool's thinking was. They've just left him out there. But as Stevie said, they never got him the ball. And whenever they did get him the ball, in all fairness, Man United doubled up on him. So until he got his goal, really he wasn't able to offer anything. But I was surprised in Liverpool's performance today. I was surprised in both teams' performance, one in the negative and one in the positive. And I tell you what, swinging it around to Ten Hag's team, boy, if they'd have got beat by the scoreline that a lot of people anticipated, I can only imagine the mess tomorrow at Man United, but it hasn't happened.
But they didn't. So just before we do move on to talk a little bit more Manchester United, Don, we have to ask, what percentage are you worried about Liverpool this season?
To ask.
Well, in terms of what? I mean, I had them for the title, so obviously it's panic stations there. I'm still confident in Liverpool. I'm not going to backtrack and say, they're finished after three games. I said last week there's 108 points to play for. Well, all right, take three off that, 105. I mean, you can't write a team off after three games in. No one was writing Man United off saying, they're going to be in a relegation battle just because the league table showed after two games that they were bottom of the league. They're too good for that, Liverpool. They'll respond against Bournemouth. I'm confident in that.
All right, let's move on to talk a little bit more about Manchester United, because just two games in, even before the third game, Casemiro's looking pretty confident. He said, I want to win the Premier League. The few people who think that the move is about money don't know me. If it was for money, I'd have gone 4 or 5 years ago. The last thing I've thought about is that.
So he wouldn't have had four Champions Leagues then?
He wants to win the Premier League with Manchester United.
When's that?
What year?
What year are we talking here?
I mean, I know we've put a really positive spin on Man United's performance today. It's not been difficult because it was a much better, but I get it. Like, what do you expect him to say?
He's got a few years on that contract to be able to try and turn things around for them.
Look, what do you expect? I mean, luckily for him, he sat in the boxes tonight and saw something decent. Because that was a surprise, and that'll perk him up a little bit because he saw quite a lot of those young lads running around, showing some really good skill and movement. And he thought, you know what? I could just sit in here and I can just orchestrate it and move things around and keep it ticking over. And that was a real positive game for him to watch. But, you know, winning the league, listen, we're still searching for ways to find them in the top four. So that's a long way down the road at this moment in time.
What do you think of his quote?
He said all the right things. Fantastic. That's how you do it. That's how you sit yourself in front of a camera, in front of the press, and say the right things at the right time. Just perfect.
All right.
One word of it was true. Perfect.
Well, he could have said at the press conference, I really want to win the league, but it's unlikely with this lot. Maybe in a few, but
managers.
So, Casemiro's in. Gab, what's the latest on Antony?
So obviously Antony was left out of Ajax's game this weekend, which they won 1-0 against Sparta Rotterdam. There's a lot of people who are suggesting that United are going full steam ahead. We are talking about another winger, a guy who's played primarily on the right wing for Ajax. He seems determined to push this through. Ajax, their manager, you know, sure is almost trolling United, saying, well, we're in the Champions League. I don't know why I'd want to leave for a team that's not in the Champions League. When a manager speaks that openly, I think it's because he knows that the deal is very, very close.
Right. Well, that's how things are looking there right now. Does it change your mind what you saw today, though, and what you thought of United's chances this season?
Of what?
Of
That's a very generic...
Okay. Nobody had them in the top four, did they? Maybe
No. It doesn't. I think there's still a lot of difficulties ahead. I think there's a lot of different challenges in every league. They met a Liverpool team tonight that were off colour at best. And they rose to the challenge with the changes. So for once, they listened to a manager's team talk and they had that desire. But there's so many different hurdles to get over for this club and this team that I'm very encouraged by what I saw for the manager. I didn't like to see him, Erik ten Hag, the cutaways of him last week at Brentford, where it looked as if we were just about to put him in a coffin at one point. So it's nice to see he can at least go home and see a performance. But let's not start finishing the marathon when it's only just started at 100 metres.
OK, so big win for Manchester United today. Let's see if it can kickstart their season. You can download the latest Gab and Jules podcast as well. That also dropped today. And there are two familiar faces, Gab and Don, on there. Don's had a few comments that we'll be bringing up a little later in the show. Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Of extra time, we have Craig Burley, Stevie Nicol.
See, that's why I stay out of.
There is it.
See, that's why I try and stay out of these MLS segments. It muddles me because I was watching the other night. I was on, and they rammed the.
All you got to do is keep your mouth shut.
I know, but I tried to. I just. I know.
Listen, he was trying.
I was trying, and I thought, you know what? I'll come out of my comfort zone, because the other day when I was on, we ran in highlights of Wayne Rooney's team getting beat 6-0, and I thought, that's Wayne Rooney's team. Obviously, it's not. I got confused, and that's why I. People say to me, why don't you talk about MLS? And I said, I get confused.
Well, you know what else?
So
you
I'm
know
out.
Who else got confused? Don Hutchison.
Why?
We didn't get a chance to talk about this in today's show, but he went against his boyhood club Newcastle and said that Kieran Trippier should have been sent off on the Gavin Jules podcast.
Oh, you need to read the laws of the game, Don.
No. Can't believe you, Don. Anyway, let's start with this.
That law will be changed. That law will be changed.
Yeah, it will be.
Stevie, will you be having some drinks with the shepherd's pie tonight?
Aye.
What do you mean, drinks with the shepherd's pie? Aye. What are you having? I'm having a beer.
So is this a normal night then?
But
basically.
I think they're having a little bit of a, are you going to drown your sorrows after Liverpool
absolutely.
Losing to Manchester United?
Well, it's so disappointing. There's one thing to get beat, but... To be so, compared to what you normally are, to be so far off that sort of level, it's so frustrating to watch. And then you lose your head and you start blaming the referee and
Then you saw the highlights and you felt it looked even worse on the highlights.
I think it did, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it did look worse on the highlights.
Well, we've made you talk enough about it.
By the way, what about Kieran Trippier's free kick?
I know.
Never mind his... he shouldn't have been sent off though, for that.
The Barry Beckham.
No.
See, I don't understand. Like,
because it wasn't dangerous, it was cynical.
So you just
I don't make the laws, Stevie.
You can't go around kicking people in the knee.
You can't just go and wail somebody.
Well, the great thing is we have a professional referee who used to referee
he's
in the Premier League, and he said himself, "VAR did the job correctly here, and it shouldn't have been
Newcastle
a sending
fan.
Off."
I would
a Newcastle
have
fan.
Well, you're supposed to be a
Newcastle
fan, aren't you, Don?
I would have
no problem. I'm not. But he's being biased. I'm being honest. The Gab today. I can lie through my teeth, and I can be biased and go, it's never a red card, and we should have had a penalty. You can't go around on a football pitch kicking people in the knee.
He tripped him up. It was a little bit high, but he tripped him up.
He kicked him in the knee.
No, there was no... Listen, Don. It wasn't an act of violence. It was an act of cynicism.
Kicked him in the knee. He got him up here.
I know where he kicked him.
I'm with you, Don.
He tripped him up, right?
I'm with you, Hutch.
He tripped him up.
Well, Mark said... Wasn't a red.
Well, Mark thought the other. I saw an email from the producer today, and I actually read a bit of it, and only a smidge. And
he's honoured, by the way.
He's not. And Mark Clattenburg thought the challenge by John Stones was a penalty as well. I disagree with that.
And Shah.
Yeah. It's a foul.
Yeah. Shah, if you look at it, actually. What are you going to say?
It's a foul.
Who is? John Stones?
Yeah.
No. No. If you look at it closely. If you look at it closely, as John Stones is coming across to jump for the ball, if you really look at it, Shah jumps into him.
Shah's already jumped.
No, he makes no attempt. If you watch it, he makes no attempt, Shah, to go for the ball. He's no interest. He's watching the player and he jumps into John Stones as John Stones is jumping.
How does he do it?
Like that. He's very clever. Or he thought he was. He jumped into John Stones.
I bet you a foul's given. That happened in the middle of the park. I bet you they would give a foul.
Mm-hmm. Well, Craig, can Manchester United play against worse teams who might sit back and ask United to break them down? They look great on the counter, but how many sides will they have that space against?
Well, quite a few, actually, because I think a lot of teams will have a go at Man United this year. So maybe a little bit more than over the past 10 years or so. Good grief, I'm going to have to go back longer than that. Actually, it was a problem when Solskjaer was there as well.
Can Man United defend the way they did today?
Last gasp?
Yeah. I mean, they got bodies in front of the ball. They made challenges. They were in people's faces. I mean, that one of the reasons why we're praising them
is because they beat Liverpool.
It's something that actually should be the norm. I mean, if you think about it rationally, we're praising them because they were up for the game, they had some desire, they showed some heart, they worked their tails off to a man. But then, is that not what you should be doing? You know, we've kind of got to calm down. We're going overboard on a team that's doing what actually should be the first thing you do.
Is Mark Clattenburg not normally on a Monday anyway? Where is he? What country is he in this week?
He doesn't know.
Does he know? Scurrying he's through the border if he's in Egypt.
Yes.
Yeah. Don, I'll have that bit.
Could United? You know what? That's just, people could say they're anywhere, really, couldn't they?
What?
Just Jan, front of the hotel door. Don, could United play this well as they did in the first 45 minutes with full energy if Ronaldo started?
No. No, I think they got a lot of belief when they seen the team sheets come in. No Fabinho, and they seen Elliot, Jordan Henderson, James Milner. I think that gave them a little bit of confidence. The team obviously was picked before then, so you see Ten Hag, what he was trying to do. Cristiano Ronaldo won't like it, but it happens to all pros when you have a realisation, Kay, when you're getting older, that you just can't do the things you want to do. And your brain's telling you you can do it, but your legs are saying, I'm a yard off, I can't do the things, I can't press. Listen, Craig's right when you're talking. You know, it's like everyone in the world will start analysing Marcus Rashford against Ronaldo. Ronaldo's arguably the greatest player to ever play the game, but father time catches up to you. So all of a sudden, you can't do the things you want to do, and the faster young players, the younger models come along, and then they get their chance to shine. And he won't. He'll play minutes against the guys, the teams that are in and around the bottom half, but he won't play against Chelsea, he won't play against Man City, won't play against Tottenham, won't play against Arsenal. That's Ten Hag's way, what he saw tonight. And why would he change it? Because if Ten Hag changes for Southampton and he puts Ronaldo in, they get beat. Right back to square one.
Well, everybody's talking about Ronaldo, but everybody's talking about Maguire, but what about Shaw? I mean, that's two of England's back four with a World Cup coming up who are deemed to be liabilities at the club. I know they've played well for England, I get that, but Gareth Southgate's hardly watching that, rubbing his hands. He's going, oh yeah, it's great, isn't it? Maguire and Shaw dropped for what? For a new signing and, well, two new signings, one of them a youngster.
Everybody, how can he play him if he doesn't play?
So that's it. England have got no chance in the World Cup. Well, you heard it here first.
After three games, Stevie is not fully...
Well, he could play Chilwell, couldn't he? Oh, Cucurella. Oh, good grief. Oh, dear. It's all going wrong, isn't it? All going wrong for England. We're going to find a left back. Who else? Alexander-Arnold, he'll... Oh, no.
At least they're there, eh?
What?
At least they're there.
Yeah, they make up the numbers, don't they? Well, they've been making up the numbers since 1966.
Salty. After three games, Stevie is not fully convinced whether Arsenal will make it in the top four. Are you convinced Liverpool making into the top four based on their first three games' performances?
Yeah, I mean, you can't turn around and say they're not going to be in the top four, can you?
I don't know, can you?
No.
So you're not worried at all?
Top four? No.
OK.
No, they'll be in the top.
Top two?
It's a little concerning. And it's concerning. It's one thing to lose a game by being unfortunate. It's another thing to lose a game and have a lot of the fundamentals, so getting them so badly wrong. You know, the things I'm talking about defensively in particular. I mean, can you imagine Haaland running in behind that back line? Holy smokes, talk about worrying. So, yeah, once they get the basics sorted out, then they've got talent, you can't argue with that. So they've got to sort the basics out and quickly.
So there's two reasons he came in early today, I imagine. One of them was he was huge anticipation of the big match, and the other one, rumour has it, he was scurrying around the whole of the ESPN campus looking for the videotape of him saying Arsenal haven't improved this year. And he's trying to get rid of it before it reappears.
He's on the Dan Thomas
policy. It did make me chuckle, I have to say.
He's gone round.
Dan
should be a politician.
In case it reappears.
I mean, he's got a very long memory, though.
Dan should be a politician because he just makes up stuff.
Remember, Stevie, when you said Ben Zamara only scores tap-ins, and then you said that you didn't say it.
Listen, I don't profess to be right all the time. But on this occasion, I know exactly what I said.
As I said,
Mr. Dan Thomas is very good at making up stuff.
Did he find the tape?
He's not found it, but it's circulating.
Maybe our production team will.
Ugh, I wouldn't hold my breath.
Craig, Eric. Eric, after the game. It's Eric now.
Oh, Eric.
Eric, after the game. Said he was really impressed by Varane. Does this mean Maguire might not be playing anymore?
Frank.
Eze said after the game, he was really impressed by Varane. Does it mean Maguire won't be playing anymore? How will it work? He is still the captain.
I don't think anybody cares whether he's the captain or not, including the manager. He's picking the team to win a game. I don't know. I can't answer that question. I would imagine the answer would be yes, unless he sells them. Before the end of the transfer window, so I'd imagine he'll play again at some point, Carabao Cup, whatever it is, but injuries. His concern's not the World Cup. Ten Hag's?
If you're Leicester, do you throw in a 30 million bid or something like that?
To take him back?
Aye.
Because they're struggling
big time.
He's moaned about his recruitment.
Aye.
Brendan Rodgers. And Fofana might be gone. Is Fofana gone yet?
Not yet.
It is Liverpool, though.
Don, you're shaking your head.
Speaking of Brendan Rodgers, Liverpool's worst start in 10 years
since football are gone.
All right, sorry.
All right, anyway. Stevie, let me ask you something. Can you be really honest about Liverpool missing Sadio Mane now? He was the real talisman of Liverpool's success, not Salah.
Where you go, talk rubbish. Because of a bad start, it's because of Mane.
Why are you nodding your head, Don?
Mane wasn't playing centre-half, was he? Or right back? Or centre-mid?
No.
Or one in the middle three? If Mane had been playing today, he wouldn't have seen the ball either. He wouldn't have got a kick either.
No? Don?
I think it's one of them, Kay, where if Mane's there tonight and it was Diaz, Mane, as a number nine, Salah, that would have scared the life out of Man United. The fact that Firmino was playing there, they could push a little bit higher up the pitch. They wouldn't have been that high up the pitch with Mane sprinting in behind. So, it's going to be one of them. It's when Liverpool lose. It's like one of them. When Liverpool lose, they should have kept Mane. When they win 6-0, don't need Mane. It's going to be one of them.
For Don, percentage chance of Liverpool winning the Premier League and United finishing in the top four, please.
Zero.
Zero, that's an easy one, isn't it?
Five.
Zero.
I'll go five.
5%.
A very small chance.
United are not getting in the top four.
United aren't getting in the top four. Still not getting in the top four.
No.
All right.
Nope.
Liverpool winning the Premier League? No.
You never know. Oof. They have to put a heck of a run together with everybody fit.
All right.
But, never say never.
Two home games on the spin. Bournemouth and Newcastle.
Things change. All right, we've got to go. Stevie's got to go and look for those tapes and what he said about
Arsenal. They don't exist. You never said it.
Join us tomorrow, ESPN FC, available daily.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.